2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Good evening, everybody. This is your buddy Chopper Don coming at you with the Vegas Lines Geeks Picks for Week 15 of the NFL season. I am hosting this podcast with none other than the founder and CEO of the DFS Army, a.k.a. the Fantasy Football Geek. Kevin, how are you this week?
Loving it. Feeling good, man. Feeling real good. I love this kind of slate. I've just been sitting here staring at the way that the different sites have broken it down. And it kind of feels like we have 3 weeks of fantasy football all wrapped into one. So
it does.
I like that. I like that. It's so many chances to play. It feels like basketball a little bit, or one of these daily sports where you can put in new lineups every single day. So, or at least a few different slates and wash the stank off if one doesn't go so good.
Now you're going to get me preaching bankroll management, man. That's one of the things we talk about inside DFSArmy.com all the time.
That's true. I would approach it the same way I would approach anything. Is like, you know, slate is complete. The slate is complete. The tiny ones, not so great for cash games. So, but you got to get a piece of all of them. Who doesn't want to be watching these games on Saturday with a rooting interest? Not that the Saturday games are exciting, but I want to watch them with a rooting interest. That means I'm playing it. And I want to play
everybody
it
with an itch to scratch wants a piece. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
I got a lot of itches, man. I might as well have poison ivy.
I don't even know what that means. I'm not even going to go there.
So. Nothing dirty. You want to dive on in, or do you want to? You have a couple of things you might want to bring up about the DFS Army, actually. Anyway, being that we are the flagship podcast for the website.
I mean,
let's fire off with you. Bring some news, notes, announcements, whatever.
I mean, you got to be excited. Yesterday, our own Ryan Fight On 2016 took down second place in the $10 DraftKings, you know, big 650K contest. That was the Tuesday night. Good for 50 grand. So congrats to Ryan. He's getting a swag bag. I can't believe my favorite thing about his win, and this is another massive five-figure winner. NBA is kind of beating us up a little bit. I think they've surpassed the big NFL wins already, and there's a lot more NBA season left. So in fairness, there's a lot more NBA slates, but still, we gotta get back in there.
And about 3 weeks to buckle down here.
That's right. So we gotta get back in there. But I mean, it's been unbelievable. It's been unbelievable. So we had another five-figure winner last night, and two guys, virtually almost two separate takedowns of the live final qualifier, except they wound up like a last minute. I was watching them, and a last minute point by Carl Anthony Towns knocked him right out into second place, which was brutal. So really, really good success this week for the team, and we're going to keep it going for the NFL team. I have maybe an announcement for next week about our NFL team, maybe a little addition, but a special addition. But I'm not ready to announce anything yet.
Dude!
I'm not ready to
announce
anything.
I totally thought we were kidding last week when you said you were going to fire me like three times. You don't go up and replace a dude like that. That ain't cool.
Well, we got to always be getting better. Always be improving. You never know.
I'm messing.
You
just
never
messing with
know.
You.
Everybody, wait, what did I say on the team?
Addition,
we're always evaluating.
Addition by subtraction.
we're always evaluating the team. I don't care if we're 0-10 or 10-0.
Being that evaluated. Sounds great. And I saw that little sneak peek that you threw in there. I like it. I like it a lot. So hopefully people stay tuned and people get with the program, because actually time's running out, man. I mean, we're rolling from NFL into NBA. We've got a lot of stuff going on there. We've also got just so much stuff going on inside the Army that it's hard to focus on any one sport. Anybody that wants to improve their game all around. When NFL comes around next year, if you've played basketball or you've played baseball or you've played hockey or you've played golf or whatever, I promise you the concepts that you learn through you know, our site and through our Slack chat and stuff is going to make you a better player. You're going to sit down with your season-long fantasy draft next August, and you're going to go, what are these guys thinking? They're such morons now. It's amazing how that works.
It does help. I'm already sitting down thinking about next year's draft. I'm like, we can't even use this podcast for that, but I'm sitting here going, is DeAndre Hopkins the number one overall wide receiver over Antonio Brown? Like, is that what's going to be next year? And it's going to be a tough decision. Anyway, but that's next season.
Yeah, well, I already saw there's some 2018 mock drafts out too, which I think is just ridiculous. But anyway, yeah. Let's talk week 15 of 2017. Let's jump into that Thursday night game. How you feel about that?
I do like to start with the podcast and the Thursday night game. I don't feel good about this game, which is interesting. But tell me what the numbers say.
The numbers say that Denver's going into Indianapolis to play the Colts. Denver has the 2.5-point Vegas spread favoring them on the road. 40.5-point total on the game. So a little bit on lower scoring side, but close spread. Where, you know, implied totals about 20 each. So who do you say you don't really like this game, but is there any player in there at all?
I mean, you got to play it. All right, so this is what I was talking about with the slates. So I believe FanDuel is running a Thursday through Saturday slate. Mm-hmm. They're also the classic Thursday through Monday, whatever. But they're doing a Thursday to Saturday, not Saturday only, but a Thursday to Saturday slate. So in this three-game slate, you've got a couple interesting – you have to use players from teams you might not be so excited for. And this is really it. Like, here's the hard part. Denver has been a tale of kind of like two teams. Sometimes they show up. Like last week, they put a beatdown on the Jets defensively, which was pretty easy to predict, even though people were – not me, but people were recommending McCown and whatever, Robbie Anderson. But Denver at home is a good defense. Now you have the Colts at home, so it's like, wow, you know, T.Y. Hilton does pretty good when they're at home. But, I mean, this is Denver. So Denver's got a lot of red next to all of their DVP spots, especially running back in WR1. But they also lost their top cornerback this year. But, you know, they're also, like, terrible and kind of tanking. So, and then on the flip side, you have the Colts, who are just not a good defense. And you're like, all right, well, who on Denver can I play? Well, I don't know. One thing I would say is Demaryius Thomas, playable, because something's up with Emmanuel Sanders. Ever since he came back from that ankle injury, he just has not done shit. Even last week, in a beatdown game, he only hauled in one reception on 5 targets. So, I mean, I'm not excited for Emmanuel Sanders, but maybe some Demaryius Thomas. And then on the other team, it's hard to really want to play Frank Gore. He's slow. His style shouldn't do well against a Denver defense normally. He's sort of a plotter. That's not a good way to attack the Denver defense normally. And I just normally don't target players against Denver in general. So is Brissett going to get his ass kicked here? It just depends on which Denver team shows up. Like, if Denver shows up, they will sack this guy, you know, 10 times in this game, and he won't do anything. But, I mean, if it's the Jay Cutlerian, we don't give a fuck version of their defense, then we're in trouble. So it's hard to count on that second scenario. So in any sort of cash or safe play scenario, this game is like a complete stay away. Again, outside of maybe, like, if Denver, the other part of it that's tricky is Denver doesn't really have a bell cow running back. So, like, you're not playing C.J. Anderson. Or maybe, but, I mean, is it C.J. Anderson? Is it, you know, Booker? I don't know. Tough call.
Is there any love for Jack Doyle on the larger slates?
If you look at, I don't know about the larger slate, but if you look at the small slate, Doyle is just about the only viable tight end. There's just not anything else. I mean, Ebron, maybe, was Kelsey on that? Well, they're
I don't trust Ebron. No, Kelsey should be on Sunday, right?
Is that a Sunday or a Saturday? Hang on.
Well, this is what gets confusing.
Oh, no, you know what the guy, 8:25 p.m. Saturday night is the Chargers. So you do have Hunter Henry. Anyway, I'm getting ahead. But, yeah, I don't mind Doyle.
Oh, he was on Saturday. I'll be damned. If you can reach up and afford him. Doyle's pretty cheap. Kelsey's obviously going to be top of the line expensive.
And Kelsey's your – well, yeah, we can't really get into specific positions. We'll just go game by game, and we'll hammer these. But yeah, I mean, Doyle is definitely on the mix. Although I don't love him, but he's in the mix. The Broncos technically funnel to the tight end position, and it shows in their DVP number. That's their only real super green, you know, the 25th right. overall. And so you do want to use the tight ends against them because they're quality corners – tend to push targets that way.
Well, I got another one that I'll throw at you when we get to him outside of Jack Doyle, and we'll see which cheaper tight end you bite on this week. Let's move to Saturday. Saturday, the first Saturday game, Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions, and this game's got a little better total of 44 between these two teams. I guess the home team Detroit Lions have a 5.5-point spread favoring them coming out of Las Vegas. Does that have you looking for any Lions on anything other than the smaller slates, or maybe even like a Jordan Howard? I mean, that dude's he had a game,
but in a game in a situation where it was favorable to him. I don't mind Howard here. He's not a guy I play most weeks, especially in DraftKings. He hasn't scored. He hasn't been a quality component all season because his team just can't move the ball. Giants or the Lions, not good against the running back position. So technically, yeah, it there is some merit to attacking them with a running back like a Howard. I just have a hard time pulling the trigger on Howard this year. He hasn't been consistent at all. He's definitely not a cash play ever. So he's more of like a tournament dart throw than anything else for me in this game. You know, obviously I like Stafford and Marvin Jones Jr. again. Marvin Jones Jr. coming off a disappointing sort of game in a what I would have considered a plus situation. But this is a home game, and MJJ remains the big play wide receiver. So that's the guy I probably target first and foremost. And the other guy I'm looking at a little bit is Theo Riddick. He's not getting the amount of touches you want for like a safe play, but again, we don't have that many choices. You have to find some value somewhere. So I'd say I'm liking Riddick as long as Abdullah is still out. He seems to score a touchdown every week, and he's not getting a ton of carries, so I'm not expecting a whole lot of rushing yardage from him. So again, it's a little bit... Let me go to try to get the slate going so I can see some of these numbers. But
you want prices?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, I mean, I see Riddick. I'm just trying to see his log from last week. And I mean, he had 10 attempts. The difference was, though, he had 10 passing game targets. So when Riddick is out there, they just throw to him a lot. And, you know, if Abdullah, so they just kind of tend to run those plays where they throw to them more. And that's throw to him more, and that's a good thing. So, you know, because they don't have a really much of a replacement running back, so they just keep Riddick in there, but they just run these little screens. And so if I can get 5 or 6 receptions for Riddick, it's kind of like a poor man's wide receiver.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I don't mind Riddick.
Are you thinking smaller slates, or are you thinking the full slate?
No, it doesn't
make a difference.
Do you
value that bad?
I mean, this is a DraftKings play. On FanDuel, we're not going there on FanDuel. So that's more of a DraftKings play for me. Riddick will always only be kind of a DraftKings play. I guess it's contrarian on FanDuel. I wonder how cheap he is there. He's not even cheap enough to really make it.
He's 6,000 on FanDuel, 6,100.
There he is. So
I mean that's at the lower end, but that's not. I mean, that's still touchdown dependent territory. He's not like he's 4,500.
Yeah, I mean, if you used him the last couple of weeks on FanDuel, you smashed because no one was on him and no one uses him on FanDuel. So there's a little GPP appeal there, but not so much the cash play for me.
Anything else between these two teams?
Not a whole lot. This is Chicago is just not a team I like to get too mixed up with. I don't see them being very good. And I don't love Detroit that much because, again, Chicago plays a slow game. They slow it down, low pace. They're probably not going to be ahead. So the Lions do their best when they play against a better team and they have to make a comeback late. That's when Stafford is gold. This kind of game, they could just be, you know, it's not something I'm going to get super excited for.
Okay. of the three games on the Thursday through Saturday slate, this next one might be the chalkier game to play from, L.A. Chargers at Kansas City Chiefs. And the only reason I say so is just straight Vegas numbers. You got a 46-point total. That's the highest of the three. You got the closest spread of the three, too, the 1.5, favoring the Chargers on the road. I guess my question to you is, being that it's a rivalry game, a division game, this is getting pretty close to boom or bust for both teams and their playoff chances. So they should bring their A game, but does that usually lead to fantasy scoring, or does that usually kind of trap us into thinking it's going to be better than it really is?
You know, it's tough to say. Sometimes with these two teams, it's tricky. We saw last week two good defensive teams, the Rams and the Eagles, face off in a fantasy scoring bonanza, right? So it does sometimes when you have these important – or no, who was it? The Jags.
It's Rams and Eagles.
It was the Rams and Eagles, yes. So
they scored 60-some points.
Yeah, that was a fantasy points bonanza, right? So you do see these close games with seemingly good defensive teams on paper, but, you know, kind of explode into a massive game. Kansas City is a very tough read because I've seen their defense look good a couple times this year, but I've seen them look terrible. Now, what we know is they're rolling out. They lost their best corner, if you can call Peters like their best. I don't think he was that good anyway. Well, I don't think he's that good. I really don't. But he's better
I tried telling people that early on in the year. He ain't that good.
No, I mean, he was the number one guy, and everybody's, you know, throwing to him. But he wasn't that good. He wasn't doing anything, right? The stats show that although Peters is ranked highly, like, or perceived good, he hasn't been good. But they brought somebody even worse in Darrelle Revis, who's completely washed up. So,
well, that and the other dude was so bad it made Peters look good because they didn't have to throw to him because the other dude was so incompetent.
Yeah, so then there's this idea, well, maybe their secondary sucks. And okay, maybe. But then again, Kansas City at home is not a team to trifle with. It's very much like last week with Denver at home, where we'd seen Denver play just such shit. I think in the Miami game the week before, they were like, oh, this team is just awful. But really they weren't. They just played a bad game. And then the next week, the Jets show up, and they basically are shutting them out for most of the game. I don't know if it wound up that way. But in this case, which Kansas City defense are we going to see? Because we know the Chargers are pretty good. We know they're pretty good. It's a classic situation to play Kelce because what's particularly good about the Chargers are their corners. So they should be able to limit the outside passing game and bring in Travis Kelce. But get burned by a Travis Kelce, right? So, great, right? That's cool. We know we want to play Travis Kelce here. On the flip side, I like Hunter Henry too a little bit on the Chargers, just because Hunter Henry's been sharp and Kansas City's not stopping anybody. But also the Kansas City numbers. DVP numbers show they're terrible against running backs and wide receivers. They just show awful, awful numbers against all defensive positions. So I think this is a chalky game. I think it has a chance to go at high scoring. But I think the biggest question mark in this game is the two running backs in this particular game are the two premier running backs on the slate. You have Gordon and Hunt. And both, when you say both of those names, they both make you feel a little icky because both of them have been doing shit, and they're priced up like studs. So I think the biggest actual quandary for me on this entire slate is what to do with Melvin Gordon and Kareem Hunt. Like, that's really the important decision on this short slate. It's like, A, there's a natural psychological want to spend up for the most expensive running back. Okay? There is this desire that we have as DFS players to pay for the stud running back. But is Melvin Gordon really a stud running back? I mean, the last time he scored north of 15 fantasy points was like week 8. You know, it's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He, you know, he gets you 12 points, 11, 14 every week. He's seeing the touches, which is crazy, but he's just not getting the end zone.
You know what I'm going to say it is, or what I believe? For a couple of years, he seemed to not get a lot of touches, you kind of get in the 15 to 20 range, but he always got the goal line carries and he always punched them in, or he always got the red zone target from the 18 and ran it in, and, you know, two receptions for two touchdowns type crap. I wonder if he's not just normalizing in a different season.
I mean, it could be. I think my problem is the whole Austin Eckler situation hasn't been ideal. But then again, you look at it last week, and it's not like Eckler was barely in there. So they were not – he was not like a – and they were – this was a blowout win, and you barely saw any Austin Eckler. As a matter of fact, I think they brought in when they were way ahead someone else, some other random running back that's their third stringer. So that could have been game flow related. But it's just tough to say, but it's tough to spend all the way up for guard. And even Kareem Hunt, who had, quote, a breakout last week. He did. Yeah. But, I mean, that was an amazing matchup, but he did. He finally got a breakout, but that required, you know, 25 touches. They finally fed him. And I hate to say it because it makes me feel weird and icky to use this man, but because fuck Hunt, you know what I mean? But 25 carries, if you're – now, you can't get in the head of Andy Reid. We're probably taking too much time on these, but if the Chargers are coming to town, we've thought this before and it hasn't worked out. But I'm going to say it again because the numbers don't lie. When the Chargers are coming to town, you look at their defense and you're like, oh, wow, they have really good corners and they can't stop the run. Are you going to attack them by a heavy dose of Kareem Hunt? You should. Will they? I mean,
don't know.
We've had a few situations where it seemed like that was pretty obvious and they didn't do it. So I don't know. But I mean, the numbers say Kareem Hunt is once again in a better spot. And if I'm looking at DraftKings right now, and I am, and I have a choice between Kareem Hunt at 7,100 or Jordan Howard at 6,900, and I get it. I mean, Detroit's not that good of a matchup. I like Howard too here because Detroit can't stop the run either. But, I mean, you got to consider Hunt also. You got to consider him. If you can afford him. I don't know how it will come down, and each side is a little bit different but with the pricing. But, like, on the two-game slate for DraftKings, there's not that many choices. It's Riddick, Howard, Hunt, or Gordon. You know, and mm-hmm. after that, it's a whole bunch of backups. So you've got to make choices. And you might not be able to afford two of the Hunt, Gordon, and Howard are almost the same price. So it's like you're just trying to figure out which one of these guys. I'd almost say if you're max entering a GPP, just like set them all at 50% and let them mix and match evenly. So you don't know which one's coming out ahead. If I had to pick one that I think is the least likely, I'd probably say Gordon on the road. But I mean, I don't have a basis for that other than just kind of I think he's the least likely to score a touchdown. And I don't have any great reasoning behind it other than, you know, he's on the road, and I still have this idea in my head that Kansas City's defense is good.
Ouch.
Yeah, so, I mean, I still think it. I don't know.
Those are tough decisions on three-game slates. Good news is on a 16-game slate, we don't need to worry about it too terribly much. Let's bust into Sunday. What do you say?
Yeah, there we go.
Philadelphia Eagles at New York Giants. Philly, the Carson Wentz-less Philadelphia Eagles, which was such a shame. 40-point total, but they still carry the 7.5 points. You know, when Wentz went down, they opened at 9.5 points. Philly only dropped to a 7.5 point favorite. So that tells me it's more indicative of how bad, you know, the Giants are. But I guess my question to you, because, I mean, I'm with you, and we're going to talk about a quarterback down the road here a little bit, but I'm hearing a lot of buzz about Nick Foles. And being that he's, you know, pretty cheap, what, like $6,000 or something like that on FanDuel and, what, $5,500 on DraftKings, that intrigues me if he's not terrible. He doesn't – all he has to be is not terrible. And he allows me to do a lot of other stuff in a lot of other areas that I don't usually spend up because I'm saving, you know, $2,000-$3,000 on a quarterback. Are you in the same boat there, or – are you just off of Foles completely?
No, I don't think you should be off of him completely. Like, I definitely think he's viable in this spot. Now, I like a quarterback at home a little bit better than on the road, and I'm not of the mind that this is like as super easy of a matchup as maybe someone else might think. You know, like, I don't think it's like a cake matchup, for example. You know, It's a matchup. I don't think it's the easiest matchup in the world. you know, it's fine. Giants, I think, are maybe a little bit better defensively on occasion. But then again, we saw them get torn up by Dallas last week. So, but the Giants can come to play. They do have some quality players. But again, they've lost their best cornerback, and that doesn't help. I think for the price, especially on FanDuel, DraftKings, the salary of $5,500, I think you have some competition down there at quarterback. Let me see if I can get to the full slate here and just look at the comparisons. But I think you have some competition there at quarterback at that price range. So it's not like, oh, it's Nick Foles or you have to go up 1,000. You know, it's like Kirk Cousins is that price. James Winston is that price. I mean, you know, Blake Bortles in an interesting matchup at home is at that price. Tyrod Taylor, if he plays. He's not all alone. Even Sean Kizer is cheaper. He's not all alone there. There are other people at that price range on DraftKings. On FanDuel, he's kind of all alone on an island, I would say. And so that's maybe slightly interesting as well. But I don't have a problem with playing Foles. He's an experienced NFL quarterback. He's not like the guy from Buffalo who started last week, the rookie.
Peterman.
Yeah, Peterman. Like, this is a legitimate quarterback that started in this league for the Eagles in the past. So he's in a familiar territory. I think he'll be fine. And I think, you know, as much as it's a shame for Eagles fans what happened, it will be fine. There's plays in this game. I mean, obviously, you can't play any of the Philadelphia wide running backs. They always remain in this weird four-person, four-team, crazy...
Is it only four?
Four-headed, you know, crazy running back attack. So, I mean, nobody wants to get down with that. But Ertz, I don't know. Is he going to play? Normally, you want to target tight ends against the Giants as a thing. I don't know if Ertz is going to be out of the concussion protocol. I'm not sure if I'm comfortable playing Trey Burton in a priced-up situation. Alshon Jeffrey is interesting. I don't know that I'm going to be involved in this game too much. The reality is it's a 40-point total. I mean, I guess if Sterling Shepard played, I'd have interest in him. Just because, again, Eli Manning would just pepper that dude with targets. So, like, if Shepard does come back, that's a guy I'll have some interest in. I'm not, you know, I'm getting off the Evan Ingram train. I know he has good games every once in a while, but he's a pass dropper, and I fucking hate pass droppers more than anything. Like, I hate watching a game and watching my guys drop passes, and I think he's dropped more passes than anyone. Like, he's competing with Amari Cooper for the pass dropper championship this season.
That's who was in my head when you said pass dropper. I was like, effing Amari
Cooper. Cooper's a
Cooper.
Pass dropper. He's a pass dropper. Fuck that guy. How do you get to the NFL and you drop passes? I'm sorry. The reason I talk about football all day and I play fantasy football is because I can't catch passes that well. Realistically, I'm pretty good. I can't pass. I'm slow. I'm short. Listen, there's a lot of reasons. But my point is...
I'm fat. I'm lazy. I'm stupid.
Short. I'm bald.
Those are the check marks in the cons column for Chapadong.
But fat, I mean, slow, one thing stupid. One thing you would think is if you made it all the way to the NFL, that you could catch passes. Like,
if that's your job.
Somebody didn't teach you how to hold your hands, or I don't get it. So I hate when
it makes
people
me
draw
laugh.
Passes.
A big D lineman jumps up, bats a ball down. You're like, it hit him right in the hands. I don't care. He can drop. He isn't paid to catch the ball. A tight end in a pass catching tight end, you paid to catch the ball. Jared Cook, I'm looking at you too. He's been better, but damn, he was bad for a long time. Anywho,
there it is. So
who else you got in this game? Anybody worth anything? I mean, you covered Ertz. If you
I moved
plays,
on from I mean, that game already. I'm already looking at the Green Bay game because that's a lot. There we go. Let's move on.
That's all I needed to hear. Green Bay Packers at Carolina. Green Bay heading down south into the warmer air, hopefully. 47-point total and 3-point favorite for the home team, Carolina Panthers. And, of course, Hundley had a good game last week, finally. A really good game, but – I guess the question here is, how playable is Cam Newton?
Well, let's start with the return of Aaron, which is happening this week.
Oh, there you go. That's how brain dead I am to that situation.
There you go.
It is happening. I've heard it on the radio. It just hasn't registered.
Well, because they haven't actually named him as playing for sure. So it's not like super official, but it is happening this week.
I know, but
you knew it was going to be official when they jacked up the Jordy Nelson salary from, you know, virtually nothing to back to stud levels. I'm like, wait, hold on a second.
That's DraftKings dynamic pricing for you, folks.
Fucking DraftKings was all over it. But guys, can I have 1 week to steal Jordy Nelson? No? Not even once? Where's this guy? What's his salary? Oh, you went to 6,300?
Yeah, FanDuel got it, too.
Explain to me why the 7 he put up this week at 4,500 justified the $2,000 uptick. Well, I think we know. DraftKings was aware. They knew that Aaron was coming back.
He was as low as like 4,500. I mean, he was cheap.
Because no one was throwing to him. So
sure.
Apparently, Jordy Nelson's not even that good. He's just...
Discount double check makes him great.
That's what it is. Now, it says here, yeah. So, Aaron Rodgers has not played since week 5. But when he was playing good. And you want to talk about a GPP play? How about Aaron Rodgers coming off injury? You know, there's going to be a little bit of hesitation. Rightfully so, because... Yeah, well, I don't know. Well,
I mean, don't you think that's going to be owned a little bit just because it's Aaron Rodgers coming back? I mean, there's a lot of Packer fans around the nation probably been dying to play that guy for 7 weeks.
Could be. You know, what I don't know and what you never know is – all right, what you never know is like what you just said. If it's like, oh, Aaron Rodgers coming back, turn on the hype train and everybody's on him. Now, it's not exactly a good matchup, so I don't think – between a perceived not-so-great matchup and the guy coming off of an injury, like, will he be sharp in his first game back? He might be. He might be. I don't know. No one knows. But they said he's looking good.
See, he's one of the people that I wouldn't really have a lot of worry. Oh, he needs to get his timing back. Nah, it's Aaron Rodgers. He's going to probably be pretty good. Now, is he $8,500 good on FanDuel? I don't know.
He might be
– probably be pretty close, though.
I mean, you're comparing him with Russell Wilson and a couple other guys. So my feeling is I think he's definitely GPP playable. It's a road game. It's not a situation where I'd be going nuts to play Aaron Rodgers in cash anyway.
Sure.
But I do love the cheap price, particularly on DraftKings, where you can get Rodgers for like $6,800 or something like that. And,
yep. What does that tell you? $6,800 for Aaron Rodgers, but yet they cruise Jordy Nelson up from like the depths of men's sal up to like $6,300. Yeah. So they love Jordy Nelson. They don't really love Aaron Rodgers.
No,
much.
They do. They just devalue quarterbacks. Because if you look at DraftKings, Russell Wilson's just a few hundred more. So realistically, he's at the top end of the price range for the quarterbacks that they have on DraftKings. So he's right there. He's not so much different in price than a Russell Wilson, and he's priced above Ben Roethlisberger, who's also in a very spectacular spot.
That's how I haven't played DraftKings for a few weeks, so I'm getting away from the feel for the pricing. But I can tell you that Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson in a huge GPP is probably not a bad little stack to run.
I think you got to run it out there. I think you have to run it.
Giant GPP, not nothing in cash or league play, but you know, in some kind of a big old GPP, man.
Absolutely, I think you have to run a few of those combos. And Nelson, you know, for all intents and purposes, is relatively inexpensive on FanDuel at 7,200. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a virtual must this week, at least to take a shot or two. On the flip side of this game. Carolina, you have Newton, you have a very bad Green Bay defense. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I like Funchess.
Play to the over.
I wish I could tell you more about Olsen, but I don't know what to make of him right now. He's very, very inexpensive, but I mean, one target, no reception. Like, he just hasn't done anything. Even in this return game last week, he didn't play much, so I think he's off the table. I don't think you can trust him. I just don't think you can trust him. This is a weird week for tight ends anyway, but But
man, now you make me want to put him in my Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson stack in a huge GPP and throw his ass in there.
I think Olsen's too much. One target last week. I mean, no receptions. No,
oh,
I think
I know.
That's going too far. But then again, yeah, no one will be on him. So if ownership is, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine about the NFL product, and we have this thought that, like, have we gotten to the point where ownership is everything in football? And NFL is so volatile, and it's so difficult to predict compared to some other sports that, like, is ownership really the only thing that matters at this point? But I don't think so. I don't think we've gotten there yet, but it is becoming more and more important. But, yeah, I mean,
Not worrying about ownership's done okay for me this year, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, there it is. There it is. If you're keeping it chalky, if you're keeping it cashy, then it doesn't matter.
Eat it, baby. Eat it.
Carolina, I mean, they're facing a Green Bay defense that's just not that good. I mean, they made Kaiser look pretty good the other week, and I think there's going to be a lot of scoring going on here, potentially. So, yeah, I don't mind game stacks. I certainly don't mind Cam Newton to Funchess, and I don't think I'm going to use Olsen, but I think Christian McCaffrey is very much playable.
You're not chasing Jay Stu's points?
Whose points was that?
Jay Stu. Jonathan Stewart?
Hell no. Come on. Stewart had a 3-touchdown game.
I just had to hear you say it.
Of course, as he's scoring his third touchdown, we're like, hey, was Stewart on your list this week? Just checking. Like
please.
The passive-aggressive, like, asshole who asked that question. Like, no. He wasn't on my list. I don't know. Yeah. He wasn't? Why not?
Nor should he have been.
No, he's never been on my list.
You know what? For as crazy as it sounds with the whole Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson type talk, wouldn't be a bad idea to possibly, and again, large field GPP, run that Carolina defense out there just in case Aaron does come back rusty. I don't see him throwing a ton of picks, but
you never know. You never know.
Who knows?
In a GPP, stuff like that, you have to play for low probability scenarios. And just because something seems unlikely in a tournament, that does not mean you should not do it. Sometimes that is a reason to do it. Again, it's that ownership kind of situation where it's like, well, it seems unlikely that he's going to come out and be terrible, but, you know, what if he is?
Never know.
You know, it could happen. It's certainly not impossible, or, you know, there's more than a 0%. Like, there's a chance.
Okay. Which one's more likely? Jordy Nelson scores 2 touchdowns or Aaron Rodgers throws 2 picks?
I think I'm leaning 2 picks over the 2 touchdowns. I hate to say it. I think I'm leaning the picks there if I'm choosing what's more likely.
That just totally popped into my head. You want to move on to the next game?
Yeah.
All right. Cincinnati Bengals at Minnesota Vikings. 42-point total. 10.5-point Vikings favorite at home. Now, I'm curious as to if this is a Latz Murray game or if this is a Keenum to Thielen type stack game. Your thoughts, please, sir.
You know, I'm looking at the numbers, and one of the things that I've learned over the years is, you know, teams are going to, like, you need to push a team in order to really get massive passing numbers out of them. And we saw it last week in the Chiefs game, where they were able to just sit back and cruise, and all of a sudden Alex Smith didn't do anything because the opposing team was not able to move the football. The best thing going for the most interesting, I think if this game was a home game for Minnesota, it would almost be worse in the sense that Minnesota would just dominate defensively. The fact that the Bengals are at home gives them, I guess, some hope.
I think Minnesota's at home.
Is this a Minnesota game? Minnesota's at home?
Yeah, they're on the right side of the research station, so it looks like that's reading Cincinnati at Minnesota.
I don't know why I was reading that. It says verse on here, and I was reading it. Okay, but nonetheless, all right, in that case, yeah, I think I'm going to go...
back truck up, start
over. Well, I should
over.
Say at, not verse. But I'm going to lean towards the running game here. I definitely think Thielen is in play anyway, and I think Keenum is definitely playable just because the Bengals' defense is kind of in collapse mode. They've lost a bunch of their players, but a lot of that is the run defense. So I think Murray is definitely in play. I don't know if it's a McKinnon game or not. I don't know if they're going to need to go there with the passing. You know, the game flow suggests that the Vikings will take a lead here and then be able to pound it with a Lats Murray. So that's my lean on the running back situation. But Thielen is in play every single week. He is just a stud this year. And this isn't a tough matchup. I think the Vikings are going to dominate the Bengals, especially at home. I was like, wow, they're 11-point favorites on the road. Now it makes more sense at home here. So absolutely, I like Lats Murray. I don't think he's going to be very high-owned in DFS. His salary is totally reasonable on both sides, under 5,000 on DraftKings, under, you know, just around 6 on FanDuel, which is fine. And on DraftKings in particular, I have looked at this slate, and I will do my best to discover a value play, but there ain't many of them. There's very few viable players under 4,500 this week. I haven't found any so far. So, but again, the slates are all broken up, and it's difficult to sort of really go through everything in one shot, but there's very few. So a guy like Lats Murray, you have to have some exposure, I think. I'm not sure that's something I'm going to say is cash playable, but I don't hate it even in cash. I think it's just a good matchup for him.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's that 10-point spread at home. You know, that usually leads to running backs making value, but
and they give him it's not like Murray.
It's Lats Murray, though. I mean, he's had a few good games, but he hadn't had like a lot of great consistent performances either.
He's not been bad. He's been good, and he gets a lot of touches.
No, he's not been bad.
He had the bad game last week, so but no one played him last week. This is the thing. He's a matchup based play. Right? You can watch him. He's got a 22 point, a 15, a 12. Is he crushing it? No, because he needs to get into the end zone. They don't throw it to him very often. So he needs to get a touchdown. But he's priced that way. And what are we trying to get out of this guy? 12 to 15 points on DraftKings in our cash games. Or maybe 20 points if we get lucky. You'll need to pass the 100-yard mark and a touchdown to get there. He's been close. If you look at his returns this year, outside of last week at Carolina, which, again, no one played him because he was a bad play at Carolina. But at Atlanta, again, very low-scoring game, 76 yards, 84 yards at Detroit, 95 yards against the Rams. So he hasn't quite – he had a 100-yard game against Baltimore, but he hasn't quite been hitting 100, mainly because, obviously, he's sharing touches with Jerick McKinnon. But I don't see this as a McKinnon game so much. I think he's got a Q tag. That would be nice. If he's out, then we can almost lock in Murray.
Mm-hmm.
No offense, Jerick McKinnon. But McKinnon hasn't been playing that much. Like, you know, 7 carries, 45. He gets about 35% of the work, which makes it difficult to trust either one guy because it seems like they're both kind of
right.
eating
it's
from
just
each
enough
other.
Of a bite out of Lats Murray's ass.
They're both eating from each other a little bit, which, you know, is kind of
that's the Freeman-Coleman timeshare.
Yeah, you never want that. But the difference was Freeman was priced like a stud. I've screamed about this for 2 years. Like, it's one thing to pay $5,000 or $4,800 for these guys. It's another thing to pay, you know, the same price as studs for Freeman, even though he's splitting touches. So different situations. Definitely
what
different
about
situations.
What about Kyle Rudolph? And then I guess you can hit me with any Bengals you're interested in.
I mean,
I know it's
yeah, Rudolph is fine. Again, Bengals are
a funnel too.
He's got a Q tag also, so we got to keep an eye on his health. But, I mean, yeah, sure. Why not?
Because that was the only thing I saw in our DVP numbers. All of a sudden, Bengals are 28. I'm like, hello.
They're very poor against that, but they're also poor against wide receivers. They're bad
green.
Against everything. They're just like, hey, attack.
They're pretty
good. You know, they don't give you an easy method to attack them. So, you know, because everything works. So it's like, what do I think the Vikings are going to do? And what I think they'll do is they'll take a big lead early. Doesn't preclude Thielen from having a massive game. He can have a big game, but I think Murray should be the guy here.
That's one of those things I tell
Gio Bernard at all. Not sure. After all in last week, they jacked up his price. But this is not a wonderful matchup. Gio is playable as long as Mixon is out. Bernard will be playable, but this case it's more of definitely a GPP only situation. Not so much like the cash all in play from last week. And I'm seeing Joe Mixon's name. I don't know if Mixon is going to be back or not.
Gotcha.
Let's check the Roto World. I'm going to open up my world. See what new information has come out.
The one thing I mention it all the time in Slack to guys is when they ask me questions and but about this scenario. I'm like, if you're asking questions about what if Minnesota decides to run? What if Minnesota decides to pass? What if Minnesota decides to use the tight end? When you're saying what if, that's a GPP play. You in cash games, you need to know. You need to have a pretty good idea that this is how they're going to do it because this is how they typically do it. If you're asking, they're green everywhere, so I don't really know exactly how that offense is going to attack that other defense. Well, now you're leaning a little bit GPP, in my opinion, or naked quarterback, depending on the offense.
Absolutely. To expand on your point, the key to cash games is reducing the risk and the unknowns as much as possible. As soon as there's something unknown, and being correct about what you think, what you perceive as risk. Because it's not just what's the risk. It's you're perceiving something to be a risk, but maybe that's not the case. Maybe sometimes we have a perception that's not quite correct about like what we should be nervous about with a scenario. So that's kind of what I mean. And I think where you're going with that too is like we want running backs that are not. This is the reason I was all in on Gio Bernard last week, 100%, was because A, he was cheap. B, this was not a guy who was going to get game flowed out no matter what was going on. He was going to be on the field, and I love that. That's one of the reasons why I love certain quarterbacks, that in cash games we don't want a quarterback like a Tom Brady, sorry, that all of a sudden they could just be like, fuck it, we're up, and we're just going to keep handing it off. Like, that can happen because they have good running backs that they can do that with, and they have done it on occasion. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened with Tom Brady this past week wasn't that. But that's the idea behind, all right, do I want to pay all the way up for top dollar for a guy who could just, hand it off and not actually throw for touchdowns? Well, if there's a guy available who's not going to hand, who can only throw for touchdowns, that's less risk.
The quarterback formerly known as Drew Brees.
Remember when Drew Brees had no running game?
That's all he could do, throw.
Yeah, well, that's why we loved Drew Brees for a while. Now he won't throw it at all. He's still the same guy. He won't throw it. I mean, you can't use him in cash. Well, it's Drew Brees.
Any interest in A.J. Green, or do we move on?
No, you don't play A.J. Green against – A.J. Green can beat quality cornerback play, and I have no doubt that he can beat Xavier Rhodes. But, again, I've done this all year, and I got burned 1 week. I got burned 1 week when Marvin Jones Jr. torched Xavier Rhodes. Fine. It happened once. But the other 14 weeks so far, or 13 weeks, Rhodes has been shutting down whoever he's on. And he's going to be on Green. So it's not a situation where I want to pay up the most expensive wide receiver or one of the most expensive wide receivers on the slate to be covered by probably the best corner in the league. More often than not, Rhodes is going to limit his opponent to fewer than his average points.
Good enough for me. Now, I'm checking really quick to see the weather in Buffalo, since that's our next game, Miami at Buffalo. My real question is, do you think they got all the snow removed from the field by this week's game? It does not look like there's really anything going on, so that's a good thing. I wasn't anticipating a blizzard, but I wanted to look for wind or cold. Miami at Buffalo, this game's offline. And I don't really even know why. I haven't even dug into it because I really don't personally care that much about this game being in Buffalo. I'll let you just take it. We can pick up some speed here. I'll just shut my mouth and let you rock and roll on that one.
I mean, there's not much to talk about until we know if Tyrod's playing or not. The reason it's offline is because Taylor, we don't know his status. And until we know what he's going to do, we just don't know what he's going to do. And therefore, we don't know which Buffalo team we're going to see. Miami sucks on the road. There's literally no reason to get super excited about them. And the one guy I do like on Miami, Kenyon Drake, has a dreaded Q tag next to his name right now. So I'm not sure what his deal is.
That's a bummer because he was getting 25 carries a week, or 25 touches a week there for a couple weeks.
Actually, let me check it here. No, I don't see the queue. I don't see the queue. Hang on. He did. I read something about maybe he'd been banged up, but nope, not seeing any more about it. So actually, I'm going to say Kenyon Drake is the interesting player, assuming that Damian Williams remains out. He's been crushing it. Just so many times. Yep. And I don't think he's a great play. This is a road game, and but if it's the bad version of Buffalo with what the hell, Peterman or whatever the hell that guy's name is at quarterback, then this is very interesting. It becomes very, very interesting because the shitty Buffalo is going to get turnovers, give it a lot of turnovers. They're going to hand it to Drake. He's going to run for touchdowns. So Kenyon Drake, actually, one of the better plays, I'm going to call it, on the slate as I'm looking at him, assuming that Tyrod Taylor is out. If Tyrod Taylor plays, then not so great. But if he's out, he'll be one of my favorite plays just because of the massive volume he's likely to see. But keeping in mind that Miami sucks.
that's a big
Jets fan. Sorry,
that's a big red flag.
But on the road.
I know
they're not
saying.
That great
it's
on the road.
It's a contingent. It's a contingent game though. It's contingent upon Tyrod being out, and then your interest gets a lot higher. So that makes sense. What do you say we skip to the next one and go Houston at Jacksonville?
Here we go. I mean,
so, low total, 39 points. 39
Jags,
points, low total.
11-point favorite.
Yeah, but huge spread. So even though Houston's only got a 14-point implied team total, Jacksonville's got a 25. Therefore, you would think they're playable. You would think it's a Fournette game. But, dude, like you mentioned earlier today, I mean, Bortles hasn't been bad the last month. You know, I'm not going to say he's playable. I'm just saying he's been eaten into Fournette's workload.
One thing about draft, you know, they really jack up these prices. So it makes it difficult when you see like a good matchup pop up and you're like, oh, let's Marquise Lee. Oh, now he's priced at 6,000 on DraftKings. Really? Shit. So, you know, there goes that sneaky value play. What we know about Houston is they get torched in the passing game. They have been giving up big scores for a while in the passing game. They're terrible against wide receivers. They can stop the run a little bit, but I don't think they're going to stop Fournette. So I think, in general, this should be a Fournette game. It would be, Bortles to Lee, if that was like a cheap combo. It's not as cheap as you'd want it to be, but certainly, if I took salaries off the table, Bortles, you'd think Marquise Lee, like everything about the Jaguars is good here, and everything about the Texans is not so good. There's no excitement for me in this matchup. Now, I think Tyler Yates is probably better than Tom Savage or Savage. Like, I don't think this is some situation where, they have Yates and it's a downgrade because the backup quarterback. I don't actually think it's a downgrade at all. I think Yates is just as good, or I think he might be better. But, I mean, this is the Jags at home. They've been really good this year. TJ Yates is like, what do they call him, Tyler Yates? TJ Yates is like, nothing special. So this will be the first week, I think, that we're going to do a little fadey action on DeAndre Hopkins. Don't need to use him.
Oh, no, yeah.
Not a good matchup. Not excited to pay up for him. They'll pepper him with targets. He could still have a good game, by the way. I don't put past DeAndre Hopkins to have a good game here, but I don't think he's going to have, like, a great game. So outside of, like, contrarian GPP. Like, in a GPP, yeah, this is a contrarian play for sure. But outside of like that crazy contrarian play in the GPP, I don't really foresee where he's going to have this great game.
And I guess that's where I'm a big old pussy because I've learned through 13, 14 weeks this year, I'm not screwing around with those Jacksonville cornerbacks. No way, no how. I wouldn't play Antonio Brown against them. No.
No, it's just GPP only. Like I said,
not at this
that
price.
Attitude that you have. Is what most people say. They're like, oh, I'm not playing DeAndre Hopkins. And then, if you're a sharp tournament player, you're like, well, there's a 5% chance that he'll go off, so I want to have him. That's how you have to think in tournaments. Like, what are the chances that he goes off? 5 to 10%. So there's literally a 90% chance that this guy will have a subpar game. Well, that 5 for 10%, that 5 to 10% chance is enough. That's the thing. It's enough.
It makes sense. It really does. But that's one of those things that, man, that's one particular play that I couldn't pull. It's just, to me, it's that bad. I can get to some almost bad plays, but I can't quite go that far. To me, and that's why it'll work for somebody if it works out.
That's a mindset you have to have for massive tournaments. That's not a mindset that anybody who's playing in normal size contests should really even worry about. Like, even normal size, 100 people, 500 people, 1,000 people, don't worry about that. But if you're in a contest with 100,000 entrants, then you got to do some weird shit to win it.
No, I agree 100% there. Now, the one I would go to, my stupid GPP play of the week would be in this game, and it would be Mercedes Lewis. And the only reason why is because we're talking about a huge spread at home with a decent total on an offense, and that favors tight ends. And Mercedes Lewis is dirt-ass cheap on both sites, and we've seen him blow up for a couple of touchdowns in London. Now, he's getting you around 7 to 8 points in a good game, in a good week. He's getting you 2 points in a bad week, so it would be a GPP-only play. But you catch one of those 14, 15-point weeks, which it looks like he has in him on rare occasion, and for that price, there you go. So is it smart? No. No. Not at all.
I feel like there's better plays, even at 2,600. There's
tons of better plays.
Can I get some Garrett Celek for that price? I mean,
I'm telling you right now. This is one of those. I have about three or four of these in me a year, and for some reason, I saw that, and then saw that DVP on the Houston Texans at 26 is a very, very favorable matchup for one Mercedes Lewis, and I'm like, you know what? For 4,700, fuck it. I might do it on FanDuel. Now, I'm swallowing the puke in my mouth as I do it because I know how bad that play is and how dumb it is. But watch him. You just watch. I called his touchdown in the snow a couple of weeks ago when he had that. So
nice.
Sure. So not exactly a long shot type.
Are you
call.
Are you the Mercedes Whisperer? We'll find out.
That's what I'm saying. I might be the Mercedes Whisperer.
you gotta get the name right.
Does that get me into any kind of DFS Hall of Fame if I am?
I feel like if you can call the two good games per season that Mercedes Lewis has, that you should get some sort of a prize for that.
Remember
last season I was the Fleener Whisperer? Like, yes. I was like nailing those three games where Fleener had like big games. Yes. Like, finally, we can go back to it. This is a Fleener game. Like, and it worked. I don't know how that happened.
That's all I'm trying to do, man. I'm just trying to live in your shoes for a moment.
That's what happened because I had him on my Dynasty team, and I got a feel for Kobe Fleener and when he was going to have a good game.
I haven't heard his – that's the only time out of your mouth I've heard his name all year, by the way.
No, he hasn't been playable this season. But they're running it. They're using him to block. And now he's on IR, but, I mean, they were running it. They were using the block. He wasn't running patterns. When you checked the percentage of patterns he was running, it was so low that you're like, all right, well, this isn't a good situation for fantasy points. I mean, it's just not going to do much.
You want to know the funniest thing about Kobe Fleener? I got a quick story for you. Kobe Fleener is our next game.
Nice.
The New York Jets at the New Orleans Saints. This one actually has a little bit of appeal on the Saints side of things. I mean, they're total. I mean, for crying out loud, they're 16-point favorites.
Biggest.
Have you seen a spread that high?
I've seen it, but, I mean, this is up there with the highest total of the year. And how does Vegas even have the nerve to put out – have the Jets even announced who the starting quarterback is? Because, I mean, I think it's Petty, but I haven't heard it for sure. I'm not sure if that's been announced yet or been made official.
But you would know because you follow the Jets, but good Lord.
I mean, I think it's going to be Petty, but – and Petty's not the worst quarterback ever. But, I mean, he's not good. So the first thing that stands out here is Saints defense. Are you kidding?
Absolutely. And they're cheap. I don't know what they are on DraftKings.
They're expensive on DraftKings, but, I mean, it's an all-in play.
Cheap on FanDuel.
FanDuel fucked up that pricing.
They absolutely did.
Just lock him in. If you're playing a cash game, just, you know, start up your lineup. You're like, oh, let me just scroll on down. Let me get the cheapie in there. Saints defense, 4,600. Boom, nice start. Hey, why don't I pair them up with the Saints running back, Mr. Billy Lutz? Sure. They're not going to need to put touchdowns up against the Jets. They're going to be up huge. All right, get Lutz in there. All right, now I've got two spots filled. Boom, just like that. Every lineup can start it real quick. Lutz is a little expensive, actually. I might not use him. But
out of a 31-point implied total for the Saints, I mean, Fleener might get a touchdown this week. Do you feel the whisper coming?
I do not feel the whisper.
I had to ask.
Fleener's home in bed.
If there's ever a week.
You'd have to make a miraculous recovery. Alvin Kamara, hey, he disappointed a lot of people. Kevin, you suck, man. You told me to play Alvin Kamara last week. He fucking got a 5. Well, you know, in fairness, he got 5.7 points on the first drive of the game before he got concussed. So it looks like he's going to be healthy. He's practicing in full. This was a concussion. It's not a soft tissue injury, which means there's very little to no re-injury risk. And it's Alvin fucking Kamara. So he's the man. So he's interesting. I like Mark Ingram. You know, you'd think the game flow and the way it looks would favor Ingram over Kamara. But the Jets actually, I don't know if the Jets are going to come to play or they're just going to quit. You know, now with Bryce Petty, I have no idea which team will show up. But this game style favors someone like Ingram because you think a lot of goal line opportunities, just a lot of like, you know, playing from ahead, whereas Kamara kind of might get a little bit of a bonus in a game where they're playing from behind. Let me look at the game logs here.
That 31 points, 3 of those touchdowns are for the defense, just so you know.
Yeah, well, there's that too. And you know, with Bryce Petty at the helm, you know, there's going to be some throwing to the other team. You know, and the Saints are a good defense to begin with. That's what's scary. Like, Saints have been good this year. You know, they're going to be good against a good team. But now you got the B team coming out for the Jets. Like, no. Just play Saints defense all day, day.
Saints and Ingram, lock it up.
Yeah, it's easy. And I don't really want exposure to Drew Brees or Michael Thomas or any of that. This is going to be, in my mind, this is a Kamara, Ingram, or Saints situation.
Or Jets.
Want anybody on the Jets. Who would you even take? I mean, Robbie Anderson? From Bryce Petty?
You know,
it's not exactly like he's establishing anything with this quarterback.
I could make a case for Jermaine Kearse in garbage time.
I mean, I guess, but again, it's we're talking about Bryce Petty here.
I don't give a crap to make a case for it. I could.
What if they rolled out Hackenberg, who's even worse? I mean, can you imagine the all-in?
No, I can't.
I'd want to play the slate. Like, I'd up my game dollars-wise. If Hackenberg is in, just because I want to have so much Saints defense and I want to have a lot of money riding on them.
That's dumber than playing Mercedes Lewis, yeah. Just so you know.
I do that, though. I'm like, last week, I'm like, oh, all in Gio Bernard play. I can beat the field. So I'm going to put more money and more lineups in than I normally do. By the way, I don't think that's dumb. That's what you should do.
Contrarian mindset, man. If you're going to go down.
No, it's not even contrarian. It's when I feel an edge play and I'm so certain about it and I feel like the field, even if the field is on it, but I can over own something relative to the field, then I want to take advantage of that. There are some slates where I go in and I'm like, I'm not sure what my edge is on this slate. I'm really not sure. I haven't found one yet. But like a week like last week, I was like, I saw Gio and I know that people are loath to play the cheap running back. They don't even, you'd think they'd want to, but they don't, which is why he was only 38% owned, because there's a mindset that says, oh, he's cheap, he must be crap. It's weird, But that goes on. Or there's a lot of people like, I'm going to fade that guy because he's going to be high on. Okay. That's cool. That's cooler to do when it's like Lamar Miller at 6,000 and everybody's on him and he hasn't had a game over 16 points the whole season. Sorry about the Lamar Miller pick. But when it came to Gio Bernard, I was like, I'm not fading this guy. Like, what does he need to do to not make value? Just get hurt on the first play? I mean, if that happens, okay, I'll eat my lumps. He turned out having a big game, but I didn't even need a big game from him. I just needed, you know, 13 points, and I would have been okay with it for the price.
Absolutely. Should we move to Arizona at Washington?
There we go. Arizona at Washington.
All right. 43 points on the game, 4.5-point spread in Washington's favor. Washington's the home team. How much do we trust Kirk Cousins?
I like Kirk Cousins, and I do trust him here.
It's a good spot for him.
Kirk Cousins at home is a different quarterback. He's good at home. He's always good at home. Sometimes he's good on the road, but sometimes he's not. So, yeah, I trust. I like Cousins here. Definitely like him. It's not a, hey, let's play him. Let's lock him in our cash game situation. But his whole the Redskins offense is certainly playable and in play. P. Ryan hasn't been doing a whole lot lately. So we're not going to get, like, so excited for some P. Ryan. I think there's a second guy. But I mean, Crowder continues to get a lot of targets. Ryan Grant, it's weird how this team, the wide receiver position is very crazy for them. But you know, the all around, I don't know if it's a game where I'm going to be stacking up like crazy, but I don't mind him here. And I also don't mind going back to the well with Fitzgerald, as disgusting as that make you feel after last week. I don't mind it.
That was a bitter pill last week.
It was. And in hindsight, you know, it was kind of a bummer. I was expecting a lot more from Fitzgerald, and it's frustrating when you pay up for a player. And I was expecting a lot from Gabbert, and he didn't do anything because they didn't need to. It was a low-scoring crap game. But I think you got to go back to the well with Fitzgerald a little bit here. He remains low-priced. He will not see Josh Norman. Norman, I believe, is actually in some sort of a questionable tag, too. I saw his name pop up. He has a DNP riding the bike and a knee issue. And, you know, so he might not play. I don't know what his deal is. And he's not shut down anyway, but he's not going to be on Larry Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald plays out of slot. So he doesn't Norman is not a shadow corner. So I think you go back to Larry Fitzgerald here. My one fear for Cousins and his crew is certainly the offensive line woes that they've had and how, you know, Arizona is going to bring some heat maybe, but realistically this is a home game for the Redskins and they play well at home. So I think Cousins will do his thing, and I think probably his thing will be throwing it to Crowder a lot.
Well, I hope you're right, because he's my season-long dude in the playoffs now that I lost Wentz. So, yay, go Skins.
Crowder last week, 6 targets. The week before, 7 targets. The week before that, 10 targets. So, I mean, you know.
Well, I'm rooting for Cousins, baby. That's my guy. But we'll see how it goes. Is there anything else that you like in this game? I mean, you kind of mentioned most of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Yeah. We got him.
All right. We got another game. Let's move to Baltimore at Cleveland. It's another saucy, sexy game. 40-point total, 7-point favorite road Baltimore Ravens.
Do you want to go back to the well with Josh Gordon?
You might. You know, I mean, it's maybe not.
Now, here's what's worse. Interesting.
I mean, if he's really good, but I mean, Baltimore's pretty good against receivers.
Well, here's what's interesting, right? So the way that you're thinking. A, Gordon started off hot last week. First quarter, and then he cooled off. But we know that was a wind game, amongst other things. Kaiser winds up having a pretty good game, but only because he ran in a touchdown. Okay. So what's the field going to think? The field's going to be like, I'm not going back to Gordon here. This is a tough matchup. This is the Ravens. They're a good defense. I get all of that. So certainly not a cash play that I'm going to get excited about. But, I mean, Cleveland's at home. they're going to keep peppering Gordon with passes. I mean, they're just going to keep doing it. So Gordon can have a big game any week. He might not have any of them this year. Again, I was skeptical of him because he's coming off of 3 years of not playing, and I just can't imagine that somebody wouldn't be somewhat rusty after years of not playing. But he's looked pretty good out there, so I got to give him credit.
You just named your three large GPP receivers for this week.
Well, I got a few of them there. I mean, low ownership, though. Now you'll get him for lower ownership.
You named them. Jordy Nelson, DeAndre Hopkins, Josh Norman, or Josh Gordon.
You're like, wait, now I'm going to be associated with all, like, these are GPP people, like all the ones in bad spots that probably aren't going to do well. No. You'll see who I recommend in my pick sheet. But
there we go.
I got to figure that part out. So, no, those are all somewhat contrarian GPP type plays. I like Collins on the Baltimore side, but I caution in chasing his points that they continue to give touches to Buck Allen and Danny Woodhead. This is not the Alex Collins show. We all had the Alex Collins experience last week when he just went bananas. But they still gave one to, I think it was Buck Allen as a vulture. And I wanted to, here's what's interesting about the Ravens. They're like the opposite of Seattle, who we're going to talk about in a second, where they almost never throw for touchdowns this season. It's always some sort of running play for a touchdown. Like, they're just not throwing for touchdowns this year, or they haven't been thus far. So it's almost like, wow, yeah, you can play these running backs just because if they're going to score, it's probably one of the running backs, or they're probably kicking a field goal with Justin Tucker. Like, they don't seem to score a whole lot of touchdowns. They don't have great or even good wide receivers. And they have virtually no red zone wide receiver. I mean, Macklin is not that, and Wallace is not a red zone guy, so they don't really have that. And their tight end play has been awful. So they end up either giving it to Buck Allen or giving it to Alex Collins or basically running it in. Which makes me like Alex Collins just a smidge more. One thing I always like to check when I talk about running backs is if he's used in the passing game, because I love me some cheap reception points. And Collins had a game earlier this season with 7 targets, but the vast majority since then, he's only been getting 2 targets a week. So for the most part, if Collins isn't doing it on the ground, you're going to be disappointed. He's got to get that touchdown. He usually doesn't get as many. He usually doesn't get 20 touches, so he's got to do a lot with those touches. He needs a touchdown. But if he can get the touchdown, which I think he should be able to against Cleveland, then he's going to make value. Simple as that. Need punts, especially
two questions.
Mm-hmm.
Two questions for you. Do you still worry about the Cleveland Browns running back defense?
No. I mean,
not in this.
No. I see that they're good against the run, and so you have to concern yourself with it. They're number one overall, according to our chart, so it's not ideal. But the Ravens are just going to pound the run. I mean, that's just what they're going to do. As bad as the Browns are, like, you'd think you look at this, the Browns are 28th against WR1 and 28th against quarterback. Basically, the Browns make quarterbacks look good. But I still think they're going to run it because that's just what they do.
Next question. And this I'm noticing. A lot of people have questions about how to read that research station chart with the passing direction, defense versus pass direction stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the Baltimore side of that chart, you see all that red, short rank 1, right rank 8, middle rank 9, left rank 2. Look at the deep rank.
Yeah, you could complete deep passes on these guys.
Deep rank of 25, so they suck against the deep ball. What does Josh Gordon do?
Yeah, man, he catches deep balls. And the other guy is Corey Coleman.
They tend to go long?
Coleman is even maybe more so that. But, yeah, I mean, these are Gordon and Coleman deep ball players. certainly in Playa.
Deep flyer, GPP type stuff. That, I mean, see, because this is what I've always been taught about contrarianism, is you want to pick a guy that nobody else is on, either as a direct pivot off of like an Antonio Brown or somebody like that, which is why you would like a DeAndre Hopkins, but also a guy that's in kind of a spot where you could see it actually happening. And I know Baltimore's not good against the pass, but a guy like Josh Gordon doesn't need a lot of volume. He doesn't need Jarvis Landry targets. He just needs three or four to connect for 40 yards and a score. And bam, he's got three catches, 87 yards, and two touchdowns. So now I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but I can see a scenario where it could on how bad Baltimore defends the deep ball.
There is no question. No question whatsoever that it could happen. And it could very likely happen. Gordon could have a big game here. Remember, Baltimore is missing Jimmy Smith, I believe, their top cornerback. So it's not like they're coming in at full strength. All these great numbers against quarterbacks and wide receivers and everything, you know, they had the other player in there. And also, you know, this is a road game. It's a division matchup. Sometimes, you know, no one's going to be on it. Browns, everyone's like, ah, fucking Browns suck. But, yeah, I mean, I'm fine with any of that. I'm fine with using the Browns side of this game. Again, keeping aware that this is a very low total, so, you know, let's not go crazy.
Right. I was just pointing it out because people have trouble reading that chart, and there's one that just sticks out like a big flashing beacon, not something you're going to play in cash games. But if you're looking for some kind of a GPP-type play, that may be one.
I wonder if Antonio Brown last week single-handedly, like, change their ranking, for their deep ball ranking. Like, before that, they were number one there, too. And then they just got torched all weekend, and now they're bad.
It's possible.
Could it be that one game and just the ass-whipping that Antonio Brown put on them was enough?
It's absolutely possible.
Could be.
It's like when you have a good grade on a test and you bring your D up to a B. It's like, what the hell happened?
I always benefited from that kid in the class who was so terrible that they'd bring, like, I'd be in a class with so many dumbasses that, you know, my 70 was worth an A.
Yeah, the bell curve.
Yeah, like the curve. Like, oh, Kevin, you got a 76.
You slid off the other side of the bell curve.
I remember, I won't forget it. It was an economics 301. You know, like a classic
bell curve class. Anyway,
it was an upper level economics class, and half the kids in the class were in there because they couldn't get into the business school, so they had to, you know, like the dumbasses took economics, even though it's a very difficult, field of
study.
It was weird how that worked out, because if you could, like, the business people were like, oh shit, I can't get into business school, all right, I'll take economics, it's kind of similar. And then but it's not, it's a very hard major.
6 weeks in, they're like, what the fuck have I done?
Yeah, the bell curve was like a 36 in that test, and I was like, I don't know. I smashed like an 80, and they're like, oh yeah, no, you got the highest grade in the class. I'm like, I did? P.S. I wish some of these guys were listening to this pod, because they'll remember to study for that economics exam. I won't forget it. We stayed up the whole night, the night before, drinking. And for some reason, I don't know how it went into actually doing economics homework too, but we were doing economics work. We had learned this incredible, crazy drinking game called Cardinal Puff.
Spoiled hooch.
Yeah, no, we drank all night. It was a crazy drinking game that I'm not sure I can even recall what it was, but it was 5 o'clock in the morning. We're like, all right, let's get into some econ notes here. We got the class in a couple hours. Man. There was no sleep. Good times.
Well, of course not. There was awesome times.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. What the hell was I talking about? I forgot. Economics.
Does that put the
bell curve.
Does that put the Baltimore Ravens game to bed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that game is playable. Like I said, I think it's a playable game. On both sides, it's just tough to, you know, on the Ravens, like, which running back? They got a few. I mean, Collins looks good. And again, I don't mind any of the Browns here, just contrarian GPP stuff.
Okay. So now that the Ravens and Browns have passed out due to your drinking game.
They played Cardinal.
That's a wild name for a game.
I hope somebody out there, if somebody's out there listening to this and you know what Cardinal Puff is, you know, email me or something. I don't know if we made that shit up. Like,
Yeah, watch it be some legacy that lasted beyond your time.
You know, I mean, I don't know. Let's see. Let's see if it's a real thing. No, we didn't make it up. It's a real thing, but, you know, I don't know how many people are aware of what it was.
I'm not, anyway. That's for sure. We didn't get none of that out here in the Midwest.
No, they don't have that in Kansas.
We just went cow tipping.
Yeah.
How about the Sunday 4 p.m. games? Let's do L.A. Rams up in Seattle. Let's take on those Seahawks. This game has a lot of fantasy appeal to me. I mean, if we learned anything from last week, it's when Vegas talks about the game going off. Apparently it will. Because we thought those were two good defenses then, and we know Seattle's not as good as Philly's defense. So 47.5 point total on the game, 2-point spread. It's kind of what you're looking for, a little bit of a high-ish total and a close spread. So does this game shoot out and play to the over in your opinion?
Yeah, I like this game a lot. I think this is another – Seattle, the Seahawks are reeling. They're coming home off of a tough loss to the Jags. They're going to want to bounce back from that. You have the Rams competing with the Seahawks for the division. I mean, this is a major, major game mm-hmm. with major implications. So I absolutely think the A games are coming out. Do I know if it's going to go super high scoring or not? I mean, you never know. You never know. See how these defenses come out, how they play. But what I do think is there's going to be some scoring. It might play kind of towards the projection. And we have some interesting situations going on. So you have a Seattle team that does not have a running back. Even Mike Davis now is questionable. So, you know, I was like, what happened to him last week? Well, he got hurt. And now he's questionable for this game. We don't even know if he's going to play. But if he does, if a guy's coming off a Q tag, and is he going to be super effective? Usually not. Usually not. So especially running back. So all of the Seattle touchdowns are going to have to come off the arm of Russell Wilson once again. And I love that. So, I mean, if I'm looking for a cash play at quarterback, I want someone who doesn't have a quality running game backing him up. And I just want to go through, if you look at the numbers for Russell Wilson since the dud, unfortunately, at the Rams in week 5. So they played once, and it didn't go well. But since then, 29 points, 39 points, 25, 20, 32, 25, 25, 25. This guy's putting up numbers every week. He's not different enough in price from some of these other less consistent quarterbacks to make me scared off of him. So to me, Wilson is a very comfortable cash play here. I think the Rams are probably going to score, and the Seahawks are going to have to keep up. And in order to keep up, they're not going to be able to do it by running it with no running back. They're going to have to throw. So Wilson's going to have to do it all with his legs, with his arms. He's a great play, great spot. Home, I love Russell Wilson here. Who do we pair him up with? Well, that's never as easy.
Naked Russ, baby.
I mean, you could play him naked. You can. On paper, the Rams are simply not an exploitable defense. Every position that they go up against is pretty good. Again, they played bad teams. I mean, we saw Carson Wentz tore them up last week. But in general, statistically, they're very good against every position. They don't have a weakness against tight ends. They don't have a weakness against wide receivers. They're not shut down against WR1, for example. They may be a little vulnerable to running backs, but the Seahawks don't have one, so that's not an issue. So I like Russell Wilson. I don't mind the naked run in cash. And maybe, you know, maybe like a Jimmy Graham in a week where there's not a whole lot of tight end talent, maybe a little Baldwin, although he's been kind of epically disappointing all season. Let's see how cheap Baldwin is at this point. See, still expensive.
Mm-hmm. Brand name cachet.
He's got that brand name, but he's got 3 games over 20 fantasy points this season. So he's had 3 big games.
He has not been good.
He's not been terrible. I mean, he's very GPP. Like, if he's not hitting, you know, you can't take a 13 or a 4.
if he ain't hitting, he quitting.
Yeah, he's quitting if he's not hitting. And he's just my issue with him is mainly if you look at his target numbers, they're just not what I need from a stud.
Right.
You know, 6 targets, 7 targets, 3, 6,
yep, that ain't 6.
Now, earlier in the season, he was getting 12, 10, and 12. Okay, great. Some of those games he didn't have a big game. Like, he had a 10-target game. He only had 11 points. But at least he got
Russ
the 10
was
targets.
Off to a slow start then.
Yeah. But, I mean, now he had a 15-target game. I mean, he did well when they threw to him a lot, but if they're only going to throw to him 6, 7, 5, I can't pay the salary. I mean, I can't pay that salary for a guy who's going to get 6 targets. You're asking for too much from a player. So, not going to be super excited about him per se in cash, but certainly a GPP play, just like with Jimmy Graham. All of those combos with Russell Wilson work for me. And on the Rams side, so it's like, do you want to play Gurley on the road at Seattle? Well, you might say no, and I might say that's probably a good move, but this is Todd Gurley. He's matchup proof for the most part.
When they feed him the ball, he is.
When they give him his touches, he does really well. Now, last week against Philly, he got a great score, but not for lack of giving him a lot of touches. He just happened to fall in the end zone twice on goal line plays. But if he doesn't do that, his score is shit last week. He only got 13 carries. He got some reception work, which was fine, but he wasn't going to pay off his crazy high salary outside of just getting the goal line touches. So I'm looking for more volume for Gurley this week. I think they're going to run him out there a little bit more. I'll have a hard time paying that price again for a player at Seattle. Seattle's very good against the run, and his price is the same as, like, Kamara or Ingram.
Right.
So I'd have a really hard time choosing him over Kamara or Ingram, but sometimes or not wanting to go all the way up to Le'Veon Bell, which I do. But sometimes, you know, that's the contrarian play. So, you know, it is what it is. It's a contrarian situation. He's a stud running back. And as far as the wide receivers for the Rams, I don't know if Bobby Woods is coming back this week.
I was going to ask you the same thing because I haven't even bothered to look yet.
They're saying he expects to be back, which for all intents and purposes – probably puts him in play. He had a shoulder issue. Can he re-aggravate it? Sure. But, I mean, he's coming back. He's going to play. Will he be on a snap count? I don't know.
Well, it puts him in play a little bit, but it also devalues a little bit of Cooper Kupp.
Well, that's the whole thing. Cooper Kupp has been priced up at this point.
He's somebody I would like to play in this spot, but not if he's not the de facto number one.
Let me tell you, it's going to be real tough. Now, Kupp has been great in the absence of Robert Woods. But if Woods is back, even a week like last week, when, you know, Goff only had 7 targets for Kupp. You know, he had a big game because he had one massive play. But there were only 7 targets for Kupp. And Goff just doesn't throw that many passes.
I just like the guy's red zone numbers. God, I do when like they get too, inside the red zone, they expensive. Love them some Kupp. Yes.
I mean, again, it was 35-43 last week, a massive high-scoring game. Goff only had 16 completions. You know, the week before that, 21 completions. So he's had some big throwing games too, so I'm not going to say this is a definitive thing. Like, There was a little period where he had 39, 40 passes for a couple games in a row. But for the most part, Jared Goff is normally going to put up under 30 total passes and will complete 20 of them. So it's not that much to go around. And when you add Woods into the mix, now you have some Watkins, some Woods, some Kupp. They kind of eat from each other, and they I think they reduce the ceiling for all of one another.
You know, you talk about a guy like a running back, like a Lats Murray or somebody that's touchdown dependent. Cooper Kupp is touchdown dependent.
He has been so far this year. He's got a young career.
I mean, I'm looking at him. His big games, his 13, 15, 20-point games, all were at cheaper salaries. They were also when he got in the end zone. When he doesn't get in the end zone, he's more like 6.9.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't put up 100. He's not getting enough targets. Like, if I knew he was going to get 11 targets, 9 receptions, I'd be like, all right, well, right. I have a floor. Let's say I got 7 receptions. okay, I got a floor at 7 points there. Plus, if you have 7 receptions, you're talking about a minimum of probably 70 yards. So that's a, you know, that's 14 points. And I'll be like, all right, you know what? If I got 14 points out of this guy as a floor, fine. And then if he breaks one or gets a touchdown and I'm at 21 to 28, spectacular. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to take our cash plays to safe with a safe floor and then have some upside. Not every situation works that way.
I'd almost rather save the $1,000 and play Mohamed Sanu.
You know, just there's a few different other players, but
sure, let's find
Marquise Goodwin, similar, better spot, more targets. You know, there are some other situations. So what do we got? What's next?
Next is New England at Pittsburgh. This is unequivocally your game of the week. Yeah, sound the alert. Stack them up, stack them in. I know what you're going to do. That's just load up both sides. All right, next game is this is a 53-point total.
Very close.
3-point spread in New England's favorite, road favorite. But, oh, God, that's your high total, close-scoring game right there. It's what you dream about.
You know, the fantasy football gods will probably throw a snowstorm or a high wind report at this game just to make it mysterious. But on paper, I mean, did you know that New England was the number 32 ranked run defense in the league at this point? I mean, who knew that?
No, I did not.
So,
and they get Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, you realize that Le'Veon Bell is playing this game? So, you know, when you're talking about FanDuel in particular, it's very hard to fit anything on DraftKings. They make it that way. But FanDuel, you totally can get whoever you want. So, Le'Veon Bell, I mean, just lock him in.
That's where it starts.
I mean, he's got a very, very high floor. This is who you want in your cash game. Then 53-point total. This could be a back-and-forth fantasy points bonanza. I mean, obviously, there's that unlikely scenario where it just becomes this weird, slow, defensive game. But Brady looked like shit last week, like total dog shit. And the question is, is he going to come out looking like that same shit he looked like in Miami? Did he get old all of a sudden and he turned into somebody who sucks? Was that a one-off? I don't know. My lean is that it was a one-off, that Brady's actually still good.
Yeah, I would think track record dictates that we need to be a little patient.
He's been good all year.
Yeah.
Now he gets Gronk back.
I don't think he suddenly sucks.
No, I mean, he was bad, though, last week. It was almost like, you know, I think what happens with these teams is they see they're playing Miami and like, oh, we got a fucking pushover game. And then, you know, it's like, I think it was a Monday night game. And then it's like Saturday and Giselle's like, Tom, you want to hang? And he's like, well, I really should be prepping for my game on Monday. And she's like, aren't you playing? I don't know how to do a Brazilian accent. I'm going to do my best. Aren't you playing the Dolphins? They're a terrible team. Right? And he's like, yeah, that's true. He's like, do you really? Then let's go party. And he's like, yeah, fuck it. Let's go party. And so, you know, it's that one weekend where instead of like really getting down to business, you know, it's a Monday night game and they're like, it's the fucking Dolphins. They suck. I don't even need to prep to beat the snot out of them. And then all of a sudden they show up and it's like the Dolphins come to play. They're like all half speed, kind of like hung over from whatever shit they were doing over the weekend, and they have this terrible game. So I imagine that whole scenario. None of that is true, but it's what I pictured happened. I have no evidence that it's not true. Even though I just made it up.
That's going back to the who are three men that weren't in my kitchen.
Yeah, that's all right. You have no proof that this is not true right now as we sit here. So anyway, yes, I think they come back strong. How do you attack this Pittsburgh defense? I mean, it's going to be the same way they attack everybody. The question is, do we feel comfortable after Hogan's dud? Does he come back stronger this week? Is Hogan in play? You know, Brandon Cooks, disappoint a lot of people. Not going to be a lot of people on him. Rex Burkhead scores a touchdown literally every single week. So, yeah, but they jack up his salary to boot. Gronk Hell yeah, always want a piece of Gronk if I can afford it. Then on the Steelers, obviously Ben, Brown, Bell, and then maybe Juju Smith-Schuster because he's coming back, and they did oblige us on DraftKings by lowering his salary. I think his salary on FanDuel is crazy at $6,700, but the DraftKings $5,400 is totally reasonable, and I do think that the Patriots will try to do their best, though they won't be able to, of taking Antonio Brown out of the game, which should push an extra target or two potentially towards Juju Smith-Schuster. That's it. I mean, it's a quick breakdown because there's nothing here to do except use a lot of players from this game.
Right.
Use Bell. No, use Brown. Use Smith. Use Roethlisberger. Every one of these guys in this particular game is in a good spot.
The really bad games and the really good games are always the easy ones to break down.
Exactly. Just so, use a lot of players from this game. That's all. Both sides.
Here's your Marquise Goodwin game. Tennessee Titans at San Francisco. 44-point total and a 2-point spread favoring the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm just going to ask you, because I haven't gotten your opinion yet, is Marquise Goodwin in play?
Marquise Goodwin is definitely in play. Love Marquise. I love Marquise. I played Marquise over Josh Gordon last week in my cash lineup.
There you go.
I played him over it. And then 5 minutes into the slate, Gordon's already got 12 points, and I'm like, oh, shit. Gordon is about to put up a 40-burger on this slate, and I'm like, fuck, what a dumb decision. And then Marquise wound up with 20 points, and Gordon ended up with just a 15. So, winner. And expect more of the same. He's at home. Look at these targets.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the target numbers. Now we're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. That guy's good. Okay? 12 targets last week. 12 targets. 8 targets the week before. This guy's fucking DeAndre Hopkins of San Francisco. He's getting targets like crazy. So, you know, under Garoppolo, they're throwing it more. And, I mean, the one negative is, of course, you know, you have a new quarterback, he hasn't practiced with the team that much, blah, blah, blah. Play Marquise. Love Marquise. Lock him in. I'll take those 10 targets for $6,000 and see what happens with them. Especially because Tennessee's not that good. Like, they're just not that good of a defense. Allowing the 23rd most points to the quarterback position, getting smoked by the WR2, whatever that means. They're not that good. Titans side, now here's what's interesting. You could play some players from the Titans. This is the 49ers. I'd like to play Delanie Walker this week. I want to watch this. My problem with Delanie Walker, have you been watching these games? Every time Walker gets
Dude, I don't get these games.
They got you guys blacked out because they can't even sell out the fucking Chiefs games. Actually, I know. I imagine they do sell those out, but...
No, I get all the Chiefs games, and I get Cowboys, and I get Packers, and I get stuff like that. I haven't had an opportunity to even get a Tennessee game, and they're right down the road, 5 hours away. I mean, it's not like they're far.
Let me tell you something. If you watch these games, you'll see Delanie Walker, every single time he gets hit, laying there longer than he should, getting like up all kinds of slow, and I'm like, oh, he's out, he's hurt, and then he comes back. He's fine. Delanie Walker is basically like, he's more, the closest comparison is DeMarco Murray. Like, you're like, oh, no, he's hurt. And then he's okay. I'm like, oh, no, he's all right. He's all right. It's cool. But, like, you thought he got hurt. That's the scary thing about playing Walker. But in general, I'd like him. I don't mind some of these other players. I don't mind Rishard Matthews if he's healthy. Corey Davis. I'm not going to be on these guys very much, though. Even DeMarco Murray, he's got the same fear that I have with Walker, that he's always heard every single play comes out. So I don't see really using any of the Titans all that much, just because, I don't know, it's hard to really trust any of them. They haven't been putting up consistent points. There's nothing about the Titans team that really I like. Mariota's not been that good this year. But I do like the San Francisco side. And I could see taking a shot on the Garrett Selk. I could see taking a shot on a Carlos Hyde. And maybe Trent Taylor as the slot guy. Maybe, you know, obviously he disappointed last week a little bit, but he's cheap. Yeah. And if you're looking on DraftKings for that cheap player, and I said I hadn't found very many of them, but I forgot about Trent Taylor. So it's not like let's look at his target numbers last week. Didn't do much. The week before, 6 targets. Last week, only the 3. This is a high-risk play.
It's a high-risk punt.
Super high-risk. Got a chance of a 0. But, I mean, there aren't a whole lot of other options in the under $3,500 range. So.
But in a lot of cases, it depends on what you do with that upgrade. I mean, if you are able to reach the guy that does work out, you know,
then it ain't going to work if your guy gets you a 0. It will never work when you get a donut. Never.
Maybe not in a GPP of any kind.
No. Yeah, it does not work in those situations.
The bagel don't pay.
Nope. But, yeah, it is what it is.
All right, sweet. Next one, moving on. Dallas Cowboys, Oakland Raiders, Sunday night hammer game, as if we don't have enough slates to worry about.
I mean, like, was there another slate here? My goodness.
Here comes the prime time.
Yeah, prime time.
46 points, Dallas on the road's 3-point favorite out there in Oakland. A lot of green on that DVP map, so there's got to be some playable stuff out of here, too.
Hell yeah. This is a great game. To target. First of all, the Raiders are the worst defensive team in the league. And I've talked about some bad ones today, but the Raiders are the worst. They're giving up the most points to the quarterback position out of any team in football, bar none. So Dallas has a quarterback. He likes to put up points. His Achilles heel has been a mediocre offensive line at times. Well, Oakland can't rush the passer, so it's irrelevant. They don't have pass rushers at all on that team. So it's not like Dak Prescott's going to be running for his life. They can't rush the passer. So, yes, I like Dak here. I like the Dallas offense here. Now, the most interesting player, I mean, Dez had a big week last week. He tends to be overpriced every single week or at least not do a whole lot. Last week was pretty good. Finally, the Dom station was all over Dez Bryant last week, too. It was crazy. I was disbelieving it. I'm like, really? But he still didn't pass the 16 points. So my issue with Dez is, even though he's getting you consistent, like, high teens numbers, he hasn't gotten 20 points all season long. I don't really know that that's going to change. So the running backs for the Cowboys are interesting. Again, because the Raiders are so bad defensively, you have to consider all opposing players. Morris, 20 carries, 3 targets last week. 27 carries, 1 target the week before. Not doing a whole lot. Not doing a whole lot with him, but, you know, at least he's getting a lot of touches. And then Rod Smith was doing some work this past week, from what I recall. Yeah, he got 36 points. Are you kidding? So
right.
Rod Smith got to be on the radar. 4,500, played about 50% of the snaps, didn't get game flowed out when his team was well ahead. That's the most fascinating part. Like, you look at Rod Smith and you're like, yeah, I'm sure he'll do well when his team's behind and they got a throw. This guy, this team was playing from ahead and he was still in the game. 5 targets. Now, he didn't get a whole lot of looks, but he did a lot of damage with what he got.
Mm-hmm. So, Alvin Kamara'd him.
He really did. Alvin Kamara. He really did that. And I'm hearing that Rod Smith is not some, like, gimmicky third down back type, that he's a big dude. But no, that, I mean, last week for him to pull off what he did, he had an 81-yard touchdown reception. And, you know, that was a big chunk of that 36. But even without that,
sure.
Even without that, I mean, he was still having like a, you know, a 20-point type
what's
game.
What's that? 1 for 81 and 6 is 15 points.
Yeah, probably, but he still had a 20-point
bonus.
It's not like he didn't.
Yeah.
He still had a 20-point day regardless.
Well, that's what I was trying to do, is do the subtraction, because, you know, even if you take away the 100-yard bonus and say that play caused it, take away the 15 that, you know, you're at 18 points, 18-36, still 18. It's still a hell of a day.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's exactly it. So, it's definitely a guy that's under 5,000 on DraftKings in particular, that we need a couple like that. So you got to keep an eye on Rod Smith if you're going to play this massive slate. Certainly in the shorts, two-game primetime slate, you know, he's one of those names that you're going to have some exposure to. And on the flip side, in the two-game slate, of course, you're going to have to actually, you know, get some Raiders in there. And is it Marshawn Lynch? Good spot. Cooper, still kind of, I'm not trusting him with the whole ankle thing. I think Crabtree's playable and Derek Carr's playable. But, you know, I'm definitely, if I'm in a two-game slate, I'm way favoring Dak over Derek Carr. Derek Carr's just not been that good this year. He just hasn't looked that good. So I'm way favoring Dak in that situation.
Good enough for me.
Jared Cook, I mean, also playable. But that's about
what's
it.
Dallas isn't great against tight end either, so yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just playable. No, they don't have. I think Sean Lee is out. Like they don't. Their defense isn't doing anything.
Monday night, Atlanta at Tampa Bay. Now we've got the world's worst secondary, so we thought it looks like they've done a little better as of recently. The numbers have changed a little bit, but it's a 6-point favorite. You know, Atlanta Falcons headed down to Tampa in a 48-point total game. So. There's quite a bit in play here. I would assume including Matt Ryan, but I know where do we stand on Julio? Because I'm imagining people are going to be all over Julio in this spot.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, Julio's in a great spot. you know, he can have a good game. Bucks, again, not a good defense. Can't really stop anybody. If you look at, I mean, there's some things to look at here, like Matt Ryan's, is this Thursday through Monday? Yeah, all right, so let's get this one going. Ryan just hasn't delivered all that much all season long. He's coming off a 9 fantasy point effort, coming off a 7 fantasy point effort before that.
Ouch.
You know, and then it's not like the numbers have been good. He's got a 22 and a 20, 21 this season. That's it. Those are the only two over 20, and they weren't high over 20. So I'm having a hard time getting, you know, hyped up about Matt Ryan as my quarterback on a short slate. Like this, that two-gamer is definitely one that's going to favor Dak Prescott. Jameis Winston is more playable, I think. But let's see what Doug Martin did last week, just to kind of see what they did with the running back position here. Martin, 10 carries, couple targets, nothing special, didn't jack up his price. Peyton Barber, did he get involved in the game last week? 12 carries. So, oops. We have a dreaded timeshare situation going on at the running back position. That is not good for anyone. What a weird slate for running backs. You know what? This primetime is going to be very odd for running backs because...
Well, that's what makes me wonder for GPPs on such a short slate where something odd needs to happen, and we know Atlanta doesn't do well against pass-catching running backs. Is Charles Sims getting any work?
That's a good question.
Because if he's catching some receptions, I mean, maybe he has the game.
Nah.
And he's the type of player that would really throw a wrench in the works.
He would, but he's really not getting used a lot. He has 3 targets last week. And, you know, so he would, on paper, it makes sense, but he's really not getting that work. So,
That's why I asked that question, because I haven't heard him at all about him all year. And a couple of weeks ago, we brought him up when we were talking about Peyton Barber being, oh, hey, Charles Sims is kind of back and whatever, but it didn't seem like he made any noise then either.
No, he wasn't, he doesn't do anything. He hasn't had a big game all year. I wouldn't touch Charles Sim, really. So, no, the running game for them is a disaster, and you have to then consider who are the running backs for the Falcons, and, like, you know, Freeman hasn't – it's another scenario where
another
he has some
shit
disappointing
show.
Players. But, no, I like Freeman. I mean, he's got a lot of carries last week. He's got to get in the end zone, but this is the kind of team that he can get – the touchdown against. I'm not using him on a main slate. Here's the interesting tidbit. Tevin Coleman's been in concussion protocol. We don't know if he's going to play or not. We don't know. if he doesn't play, then Devonta Freeman is going to immediately become one of the best plays on the board.
You'll know by the two-game slate, but you won't know by the full Thursday through Monday slate.
We will not know.
Which is tomorrow.
By that one, but you can late swap, luckily. But right now, he's in the concussion protocol. Let's wait for more information. But if he's going to be out, then Devonta Freeman is your default top running back of the entire slate. You give me Freeman with a full workload against Tampa, and I'm comfortable with it. Uncomfortable with it no matter what. I will lock that dude in. He's not expensive. That's like an all-in play for me if that happens. So we'll see. That's it. Boom.
Dude, made it.
This was a long one. We got to work on our
16.
Timing.
16. Yeah, we do. But, you know, 16 games, man. It's a lot to process
it
anyway.
It is. I felt like we were through it halfway, and I'm like, wait a minute. How many games
are there? Yeah, I know. I kept scrolling down going, where's the 4 p.m. games? We're still in the ones? Oh, yeah. Shit.
Awesome.
What are you going to do? We're nearing the end of the season. We got about 3 weeks left. We're having fun with it. Obviously, we're growing, and the Army's growing, and that's what really matters. So everybody must be doing something right.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I'm excited for the next few weeks. We have some surprises coming and some interesting new things. For this slate, though, I just want to give DFS Army a few members. I'm probably going to do some sort of a VIP podcast or something just to break down the Thursday through Saturday slate, just kind of a little additional breakdown of that one. And I'll put something out maybe tomorrow or even later tonight, actually, where I'll kind of look at just that specific slate, because I don't think I'm going to do a sheet for that one. And then I'll do a sheet for the Saturday, Sunday slate. So, and I'll try to break them up with the two. I'm really not sure how to approach it. I'm still trying to mentally figure out what the best approach is for that. Maybe I'll do two separate sheets, one for just the Saturday games and then one for the Sunday slate. So we'll see how that all comes together.
Little bonus content.
Yeah, trying to figure out the best way to deliver, or maybe I'll do a pod for the Saturday only also. Or maybe that one Thursday to Saturday pod will be that, and then I'll just do a Sunday only. I'm not sure.
There you go.
I'm still trying to figure out how to work it all out, so we'll see. But that's it for this week's Geeks Vegas Lines podcast. Thank you, Chop.
Oh, anytime, brother.
Nice. And obviously we'll be back next week, bigger and better than ever. Let's make some money. Let's win some tournaments. And good luck, everybody.
Absolutely. See you, bud.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.